because I'm sure a lot of you have heard the background on it, the gentleman that wrote it. I believe, if I'm wrong, somebody correct me. His name was Horatio Spafford. Yes, sir. Thank you, Pastor. He wrote this song in the middle of almost losing everything in his life, his family included. And for a man, a human just like us, to be able to write these words during a time like that, very humbling for all of us, for myself. And sometimes I have a pity party for Misty. And I think my life is oh so difficult because my husband has to go out of town, or because I have a Hashimoto disease, or, you know, all these things. And it's not easy. It's difficult. But it's nothing like this man had to go through, and yet he could still bring these words out of the depths of his soul. All those years ago, I think it was like in the 1800s, right, Pastor? So, I hope you're blessed. I hope as you listen to the lyrics, they're old. I like old lyrics. That you're able to make sense of them and just really, really think about how blessed we are despite everything we have to go through. Someone always has it worse than us, and it's just a blessing. So I'll quit yapping. Okay. When peace like a river attendeth my way, and sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul.
Amen. Thank you, girl. All right. Any takers for Children's Church today? I think we got some. All right. Fun times. Children's Church River? Gonna do it? All right. I feel a sweat coming on, so I'm gonna go ahead and undress now. All right. Amen. Go ahead and get it all off now, as to not be a distraction later. All right, Children's Church it is. What a good group today. Hey, all right. I'll see you in the morning. Okay, he comes to our school. Yeah, outstanding. Very good. All right, for the rest of us, let's take our Bibles and turn to Mark's Gospel, chapter 14. Mark's Gospel, chapter 14, we'll begin reading here in verse 22, and we'll take it through verse 25 or verse 26. That's fine. I'll invite you to stand in honor of the reading of the inerrant Word of God. Mark chapter 14, beginning in verse 22. Mark 14, 22. We there? Close? Partly? Maybe? Mark chapter 14, beginning in verse 22. All right, I don't hear too many more pages turning. Let's do it. The Word of God reads this. While they were eating, he took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to them and said, "Take it, this is my body." And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I say to you, I will never again drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." After singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come to you this morning, on this special Sunday in the life of this church, as we gather around the Lord's Supper table, as we experience Holy Communion together, Lord, I pray that we could be so focused upon you, so tuned in to the Holy Spirit today, that God, we're refreshed in a real way, in a vibrant way, in a very cathartic way that makes a change in us for the better. Lord, we love you today. Thank you for your shed blood. Thank you for giving your body to take care of our sin. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. Thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of the inerrant Word of God, and may he add his tremendous blessing to it. This morning, as we gather to receive the Lord's Supper together, let me inform you that we practice what is called open communion. Now, open communion means here at New Hope that if you are saved by the gospel of Jesus Christ and have followed the Lord in believer's baptism, then consider yourself invited to partake of the elements with us this morning. Even if you're not a member. Even if you're not a member. It's open communion. It's not closed communion. It's open. Now, you may be asking, why be, Pastor, why be scripturally baptized before the Lord's Supper? I'm saved. I've just not gotten around to my baptism, or I just got saved, or whatever it may be. Why be scripturally baptized? Well, I'll answer your question with another question. There are only two ordinances of the church found in the New Testament: the Lord's Supper, or Holy Communion, and baptism. So here's my question to you. Which ordinance came first? Well, you would say John's baptism of repentance in the wilderness when he was calling people to be baptized. And then you would say Jesus' baptism by John the Baptist at the beginning of Jesus' earthly ministry. Jesus does not institute the Lord's Supper, Holy Communion, until the night before he died. Everybody get that? So I believe there is something to that order. I don't believe it's in there by accident. And as we as a church and people of God come together, we ought to respect that and apply that truth to our gatherings, especially when we are trying to make the meeting worshiping Jesus, specifically Christ. Amen? Now, I am not the Lord's Supper police. These lights on up here, it's like looking at a 747 coming in for a landing, and I love that. I love that it's all lit up here. I'm not looking at you. I mean, if you do what God laid on your heart. I'm just telling you, there is an order to these things. Amen? Just think that through. My desire for us in observing communion is to first be obedient to the command of Christ. The gospel is a command. The Lord's Supper is a command. 1 Corinthians 11:25 says, "In the same way he took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" So today is about fulfilling God's command to observe his supper, and secondly, to remember Jesus. Remember Jesus. Which brings me to another desire. As your pastor, I'm praying your devotion to and focus on Jesus Christ increases as you are refreshed by experiencing once again the great love of Christ for you. For you. With all that is going on in the world, the senseless murders in New Zealand, at two separate mosques in a city called Christchurch, the political polarization and deep division in this country, the scourge of abortion here and in other parts of the world. I don't know about you, friend, but I could use some refreshing from my wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as I remember His great sacrifice for me. So as we think about the Lord's Supper and getting our focus back on Jesus as we build toward the cross this morning, as we build towards His death, I want us to be reminded by some of the details of Jesus' earthly ministry that ultimately ended in His death on Calvary's cross. So if you're taking notes, these would be some of the points today. Number one, Jesus came as a ransom for many. A ransom for many. Mark chapter 10, verse 45 says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life a ransom for many." Now, why do we need a ransom paid for us? Why do we need to be ransomed, in other words? Well, because we as individuals, we have alienated ourselves from a holy God by our own sinful choices and decisions. Would you agree with that? And so we need help, don't we? Amen? We need some big time help. Well, who is the ransom paid to? I just want to know with this accounting here, what's going on with all this ransom? Who's it paid to? The ransom is paid to a holy, righteous, and just God. God gave His Son so His Son's death could take care of our debt. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2 reads, "Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love just as Christ also loved you and gave Himself up for us an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma." Now, you may be sitting here today coming from perhaps a different religious flavor, and you may be thinking to yourself, "Pastor, I could have swore I thought the ransom was paid to the devil. I know I've heard that taught somewhere. Maybe it was television, or maybe it was radio, or maybe I heard that at my church or when I was visiting somewhere." Friend, with all due respect, that errant doctrine that the ransom of Jesus Christ was paid to the devil that you speak of or that you think of is known as the ransom theory of the atonement. It is the view that Christ's death was a ransom paid to Satan to settle the legal claim the devil had on the human race because of Adam's sin. Let me just be frank with you and honest and loving. First of all, the devil is the prince of the air. He seeks those he may devour, but he has no legal claim. Any and all claim that Satan thinks he has on sinners or this world will come to an abrupt end at Jesus' second coming. That is the whole point of Jesus coming to redeem His world. If you've been listening in the series of messages on the book of Revelation as we've been preaching through that, then you know by now that Scripture teaches that Jesus holds the title deed to this earth and everything in it, and everything on it, and everything around it. And second, the ransom view contradicts the clear biblical teaching that Christ's death was a sacrifice offered to God and not Satan. See, when we acknowledge the ransom through our faith, exercised and expressed by repentance, when we repent, we can now be adopted into the wonderful family of God. And friend, I want to tell you, Bill Gaither, he wrote a honey of a chorus to his song entitled Family of God, didn't he? I'm so glad I'm a part, you know it, of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood. Sing it with me. Join heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod. For I'm part of the family. I know what you're thinking. You're not. I know what you're thinking. Amen. Not a very good singer either. All right, I get it. Yeah. Jesus came as a ransom for many. But secondly, Jesus came to call sinners to repentance. Praise God, he called me. Amen. Luke chapter 5, verses 31 and 32 reads, And Jesus answered and said to them, It is not those who are well who need a physician, but those who are sick. Those who are sick. I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Thank you, Jesus, for the call. Amen. First, there needed to be a ransom paid to God for sinners. Then there could be a successful call to sinners. The call is based on the ransom. Jesus came for both of these things, the call and the ransom. Are you with me so far? Amen. Even today, Jesus is calling through the preaching of the Bible. Jesus is calling through the testimony of the saints. Jesus is calling through his gospel message. Amen. He's calling. Jesus is even calling this morning. And if you're lost today, if you don't know Christ today as your personal Lord and Savior, you may be religious today. You may know that you're in a church. You may know there is a Jesus. You may believe there is a Bible, but you've never connected the dots in your heart and allowed Jesus to become the Lord and Savior of your life. You've never invited Jesus Christ to come in and save you. He's calling you today. At the time of the invitation, in just a few moments, that's going to be your invitation to come down and allow me to show you in God's Word what it means to be saved. I thought that saved thing was a Baptist thing. No, that's a Bible thing. It's a Bible thing. Amen? Thirdly, this morning, Jesus came as a ransom for many. Jesus came to call sinners to repentance. Thirdly, Jesus came to give sight to the morally blind. To the morally blind. Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19 reads, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. This is Jesus. Jesus has gone into a synagogue. Jesus was a visiting rabbi. Jesus had gone into the synagogue to teach that day. They handed him the scroll of Isaiah. He opens the scroll to the prescribed section of Scripture to be read that day. And fulfilling Scripture, he reads this. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. When He finished, He said, This has been fulfilled in your hearing. And He handed it back. John chapter 12, verse 46 says, I have come as light into the world, so that everyone who believes in me will not remain in darkness. You see, Jesus did not merely come to ransom and to call. He also came to open people's eyes so that they can see the light. See the light and they can walk in the light. See, our problem is not just slavery needing a ransom. Our problem is not just lostness needing a call. Our problem is also moral blindness needing the gift of sight. And if we'll let Him, Jesus will help us see the great love of God that sets us free to love others and serve others because of that love. See, spiritual sight is seeing that life is more than just me. Spiritual sight is more than just mine. Spiritual sight is more than just my. Oh, spiritual sight is much more. You've heard the song by Matthew West entitled, My Own Little World. Now, I'm not going to sing this one, my soul. In my own little world, it hardly ever rains. I've never gone hungry or always felt safe. I got some money in my pocket, shoes on my feet, in my own little world, population me. I try to stay awake till the Sunday morning church. There's somebody that can relate to you, amen? I try to stay awake till the Sunday morning church. I throw a 20 in the plate, but I never give till it hurts. And I turn off the news when I don't like what I see. Yeah, it's easy to do when it's population me. What if there's a bigger picture? What if I'm missing out? What if there's a greater purpose I could be living right now? Outside my own little world, stopped at a red light, looked out my window. I saw a cardboard sign said, "Help this homeless widow." Just above this sign was the face of a human. I thought to myself, God, what have I been doing? So I rolled down my window and I looked her in the eye. Oh, how many times have I just passed her by? I gave her some money, then I drove on through. In my own little world, there's population too. What if there's a bigger picture? What if I'm missing out? What if there's a greater purpose I could be living right now, outside my own little world? Outside my own little world. Amen? Christ came not only as a ransom for many. Jesus came to call sinners to repentance. Jesus came to give sight to the morally blind. As we continue on this morning, Christ came to divide households. What? Christ came to divide households. That's not really what I wanted to hear today. Christ came to divide households. Matthew chapter 10, verses 34 through 36 says, "Do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I came to set a man against his father and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be the members of his household." The point of this word in Matthew's gospel is not that God loves division and strife. God does not love division and strife. That's not what this is saying. The point is that strife and division caused by true allegiance to Jesus are better than no strife and division with no allegiance to Jesus. I'll say it one more time. The point is that strife and division caused by true allegiance to Jesus are better than no strife and division with no allegiance to Jesus. Make sense to you? The point is that when a person is ransomed by Jesus, when a person is called by Jesus, when a person is given sight by Jesus, something really radical happens to them. Would you agree with that? Radical. Radical. The adopted see everything with that new sight. The justified have a new master because of that sovereign call. And we are wonderfully free from fear and guilt. Remember that when you come to the table today. We are free from fear and guilt because of that sufficient ransom paid to satisfy God's justice in His wrath. Are you with me so far? And so the called, ransomed, and redeemed think differently. And so the called, ransomed, and redeemed feel things differently. They act differently. And for some in the family with you, when you're acting and thinking and feeling differently and there's lost, oh, I want to tell you, that can cause some tension. That can cause some difference of opinion. But friend, I want to tell you, your salvation, your destination, the blood that covers your sin is worth the tension you have here. It's worth the problems that it's causing in your homes. The potential for your lost family members to get saved, it's worth it all. Amen? It is worth every bit of it. Jesus came as a ransom for many. Jesus came to call sinners to repentance. Jesus came to give sight to the morally blind. He came to divide households. Fifthly, this morning, Jesus came to save from divine condemnation. Boy, this is where it gets real now. John chapter 3, verses 17 through 18. We all know 3:16, but 17 and 18 says, "For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through Him." That first advent's not about judgment. First advent is only about salvation. Second advent, judgment. First advent, salvation. "He who believes in Him is not judged," verse 18. "He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." God sent His Son to save us from our own just condemnation, from His own just condemnation and wrath. The need for salvation implies that there is a danger we need to be saved from. Do you believe that? Well, the lost people need to be saved from something, right? If you're saved today, you've been saved from something. Well, what is the salvation from? I mean, what are we saved from, Pastor? You make a big deal out of that. What's the point? The danger is sin and death. That's the danger, sin and death. But the most serious danger of all is the danger of the condemnation of God. In other words, a place called hell. I think a lot of times we think, boy, man, it's going to be awful. The devil's going to have us in hell if we don't. Friend, the devil ain't going to have you in hell. Devil's going to be had in hell. You're going to be had in hell. He's not running the show in hell one day. He's going to be in there with everybody else. That's what that place has been prepared for him and the demonic, his dominion. That's what it's been prepared for. The danger is sin and death. Don't miss that. Remember this as you remember the sacrifice today. If God is for us, then sin and death and hell will fail to destroy us. But if God is against us because we're lost, if God is against us because we've refused to obey the gospel, then nothing can save us. Good works cannot save us. Being a generally nice person cannot save us. Being generous cannot save us. Nothing can save us. And that brings me to my final point. Jesus came to die. And we read that passage as we stood together in Mark's Gospel, chapter 14, verses 22 through 25. So in a few moments, I'm going to have a word of prayer, and the altars are going to be open for you to prepare your heart to receive the elements. You certainly don't have to come to the altar. You can prepare your heart right there in your pew, but maybe the Lord's leading you to come to the altar, and so the altars are open. And I'll be down front in front of the Lord's supper table for a few minutes. And if there's something you need to pray about, you need to receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, well, we invite you to come. You need to get your heart right before you receive the elements. You need to come, right? So as we move to the invitation, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 27 through 29 tells us concerning the Lord's Supper that we need to do some introspection. We do not want to partake of the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner, the Bible talks about, an unworthy manner. In other words, if we're harboring bitterness, if we're harboring unforgiveness, if we're harboring an unfocused attitude on Jesus. The point is, if there's any unconfessed sin in our hearts, we need to get those sins out to God. We need to confess those things and seek forgiveness as we repent and as we confess. Pastor, when are we doing? During the invitation. That's the appropriate time to do that. And finally, this time this communion, this Eucharist, this Lord's Supper, this is known by the first century church. If you go way, way back in history, this is known by the first century church as a love feast. They would come together as a fellowship meal. And I mean, they would eat and fellowship with one another. And then there would be a time to observe the elements. And we're not doing that, are we? No, we've come together and we've heard a word preached. We're sitting together as the church, as the temple of God. Amen? That's what we're doing. So remember, love should be in the air, right? Love should be in your heart. Love for Christ. Love for your fellow church members. Love for the church. But also remember whose house we're in. Whose house are we in? And who the host is this morning? Jesus is the host. Amen? And thus let us give Him, Jesus, with love in the air, let us give Him the respect and reverence He deserves. Amen? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, as we come this morning, entering into this time of invitation, Lord, I pray that each and every saved individual this morning has heard me, has heard You through Your Word. And Lord, they're making necessary preparation to receive the elements this morning. Lord, I pray that those that are struggling with sin issues and sin burdens and just junk in general, Lord, I pray they're able to lay that down today. Lord, any bitterness or unforgiveness, animosity, Lord, I pray You give them the strength they need, that You give them what they need, Lord, to lay that down and to repent and to confess it and to seek Your forgiveness. Lord, there may be others in the sanctuary today among us, and Lord, they don't know You as their personal Lord and Savior. And at this hour, God, this moment, I pray the convicting power of the Holy Spirit on them in such a way that they not be able to deny the call of Christ in their heart and in their soul right now. Their spirit begs to come to life. Oh, the Holy Spirit is rapping on the heart of their door, on the door of their heart. Lord, I pray they might open it this morning and let Jesus come in and save them and be the Lord of their life. Others need to pray, Lord. Perhaps some need to come be saved. May we be submissive, obedient, surrendered to You at this time. It's in Your name we pray, and God's people said. You'll stand with us all over the sanctuary. Brother Jeremiah is going to lead us in a time of invitation. Again, I'm down front. The altars are open. You come.
We lift our hands, we lift our lives up to You. We are an offering, Lord, use our voices, Lord, use our hands, Lord, use our lives, they are Yours, we are an offering. All that we have, lift our voices. We lift our hands. We lift our lives up to you. We are an offering. We are an offering. And all that we have, all that we are, we lift our hands, we lift our lives up to you. We are an offering, we are an offering.
All right, at this time you may be seated as the deacons come and prepare the Lord's Supper table. For those that are perhaps not quite ready to receive the Lord's Supper, this would be a great time as a parent or a guardian or a loved one to communicate to that young heart what this is about. And when Jesus comes in and enters the heart and follow the Lord and believer's baptism, this is what the church does. So just kind of think that through as we're going through this today. All right, gentlemen, if we could pass out the bread at this time. Thank you. trust everyone has an element that desires one. The Word of God reads in Mark's Gospel, chapter 14, says, while they were eating, he took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to them and said, take it, this is my body. The body of Christ, represented by this wafer, the body of Christ given for you, the body of Christ by the love of God, the body of Christ because of his sovereign plan, the body of Christ bled for you. The body of Christ was nailed to the cross. The body of Christ was scourged. The body of Christ was spat upon. The body of Christ had the beard plucked from its face. The body of Christ had its face spit upon. The body of Christ was cursed. The body of Christ. Oh, what a love he has for us. If you're in my earshot today, if you can hear me today, know that he loves you. Know that he went to the cross for you. Know that you are worthy today to be called a child of God, a son or a daughter of the Most High God because of Jesus going to the cross for you, his body. Let's pray and then we'll eat. Jesus, we come today and we thank you for your submissive, obedient will to follow the Father, his leading, his direction, to step out of the abode of heaven and to take on human flesh, to be born in a manger. Lord, we praise you and thank you for your sinless life. Thank you, Lord, that you carried my sin debt because of it. And everyone here that's saved, you carried their sin debt on Calvary's cross. We praise you. We love you today. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. Let's see. Cups, yes. Thank you. Trust everyone has an element that desires one. Okay, very good. Word of God continues on, and when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I say to you, I will never again drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." Isn't that incredible? Jesus refrains from doing what we're doing today until the marriage supper of the Lamb in heaven one day. That's going to be incredible. Amen? Oh, man. That'll get you shouting, right? No more, it's just all the disabled kids with whole healed bodies, all the aborted children. Oh, man, it puts the tingles up and down my spine. The words on the page just jump off at me when I read that about the blood. When we're looking up and he's looking down, or we're praying to him and he's hearing us pray, the blood makes all that possible. The liberal would tell you it's just the life. It's just the life of Jesus. No, it's the life and the blood. It's the blood and the life. The blood covers the sin. Oh, Pastor, I've done some heinous things. I've done some horrible things. Confess and repent. Covered. Forgiven. Consequences, perhaps consequences. Sin covered. When God looks at you, he sees his Son, Jesus, in you. That is incredible today. Amen? Amen. I want to tell you, friend, do you know that Jesus loves you? Do you know that God loves you today? Do you know that he's given his all? He's given it all so that he could have a relationship with you, his lifeblood, his life, everything. Amen? Let's thank him today, and then we'll drink. Jesus, we thank you for the shed blood. Every drop so precious. We thank you for the cross today that carried your body and soaked your blood up the ground that your blood fell onto. Lord, we thank you for your death. We remember it. Not in a morbid way, but in a celebratory way of our path to you, our salvation. May we take the peace that we feel right now. May we take the love that we feel right now. May we take the change of heart and focus. We've come back. We've focused back on you today. We've got our eyes wide open on you today. May we take that out of here today. Lord, may it not be an afternoon thing. May it not be just a day thing. May this carry us through the weeks and the months ahead until we come back to this table. Thank you, Jesus, for loving us, for saving us, and for shedding your blood for us. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. Let's drink. Jeremiah is going to come at this time and lead us in a hymn of invitation, or not a hymn of invitation, a hymn of dismissal. After singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. The deacons will be at the back of the sanctuary with their Bibles open, and they will be receiving our Lord's Supper benevolence offering. So thank you for being a giving church and a sacrificial church. As the Lord leads, you give to that benevolence offering that's used for the needs of those in the congregation, and sometimes even the needs of those outside the congregation. Brother?
We'll sing Holy Ground on page 217. This is holy ground. We're standing on holy ground. For the Lord is present, and where he is holy. This is holy ground. We're standing on holy ground. For the Lord is present, and where he is holy. These are holy hands. He's given us holy hands. He works through these hands, and so these hands are holy. These are holy hands. He's given us holy hands. He works through these hands, and so these hands are holy.
Amen, folks. You're dismissed. God bless you. We'll see you back tonight. Choir practice. 4:30 choir practice, church, 6 o'clock. Have a blessed afternoon. Go in the love and the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ.